This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back. Hour three, about 12 minutes in, thanks to Mike Stidham. And there really were. There's like another four or five horses I could have asked Stidham. It's about as nice a set of, horses as he's had in recent. He's always had, you know, a couple of stake horses at any one time, but this is a nice, it was a loaded wagon. Speaking of loaded wagons, Mark Cassie joins us. Good morning.
Morning, Steve.
We obviously have got quite a bit to talk about, but it's hard not to start with the disqualification on Saturday, and I'll turn it over to you. I mean, was there at any point that you thought that they would take down Spanish Love Affair?
Not really. You know, I really didn't know what had happened in the beginning over in the far turn, but then when I was watching the replays, I said, well, there's no way they can take her down. And the and my reasoning for that is that the other filly initiated the contact. And anybody that knows anything about physics or knows, I mean, this filly, they're running side by side. First, you see Tyler look over, and I think he was shocked that, one, that the horse was moving up inside of him, because that, to me, is something you see. Everybody knows when you get to the turn that they're going to jump to their left lead and drop down some. I think he was shocked to see that horse moving up inside of him. To me, that was that's what you see 10-pound Bug Boy do. And don't get me wrong, I like Miguel. He rides horses for me, but I think it was a mistake. I don't know where he was going. But anyways, here nor there, he's up in there, three-quarters of the way up in there. And I think what happened, Steve, if you've ever noticed, the Gulfstream Park rail is not the straightest rail in the world. Mm-hmm. It has lots of crooks and parts of it poke out, and I think what happened was that filly on the rail, she ducked front because she saw it coming towards her. There was a, you know, maybe a spot in the rail, and when she does, she ducks out, and her shoulder hits our filly's midsection or ribs, and you know, it's no different. Anybody that's ever watched a car chase, how do the police take a car out? They hit them towards the back part of the car, and what's it do? It shoots them in. And so anybody that looked at it and thought, there's no question that we came down, and no question she clipped heels, but there's also no question who initiated the contact. And I think what you've got to say is this. Would that have occurred had she not bumped us? And absolutely not. It would not have happened. So she started the chain of events.
I agree.
And I can tell you, you know, I've been through a few disqualifications in my career. I've actually appealed a few disqualifications over the years and won. Silly Hill, who just passed away recently.
Yeah.
She was DQ'd in the Bison City, which was the second leg of the Canadian Triple Crown. And it was a terrible call, and we appealed it, and we won and made it a Triple Tierra winner. So I had a similar, almost identical type of deal that happened on Saturday. I had it happen about 30 years ago. in Toronto, and the filly was owned by Mr. Mangarian, and I said to him, "We're going to appeal it." He goes, "Nobody ever wins these appeals." And I said, "We're going to win this one." And it took about 5 minutes, and we won. And I thought maybe when I was watching it that I thought maybe I missed something. So I had a lot of horses running that day, and then later on I went and I watched it again about 20 times, and the only thing that happened was I got madder and madder. So we've appealed it, and I guess the way I understand it, they're going to bring in a third party, an expert, a witness, and let them look at it. And it's not about the money for me. I will tell you this. If it is overturned, I will give my 10% to the injured jockey fund if it's overturned. So nice. It's not about money. It's more about what's right and what's wrong, and this filly deserves to be the winner. She did everything right, and it wasn't her fault.
No, and it ends up winning by, you know, 3+ lengths or so going away in the end. And of course, in one odd twist, it just so happens that, that partners are involved in this top and bottom because Eclipse in both horses. And so Eclipse gets put up with Con Lima
They are and they aren't. Steve, obviously, different people own different horses in the clips. And it really, this has nothing to do with, them. It has nothing to do with them. I feel fortunate. The actions of the four could have caused our filly great harm. So I feel fortunate that she came out of it fine, but she kind of got a double whammy. She had she could have been injured by that move, and then she got disqualified for something that she had nothing to do with.
Sure.
I mean, anybody that knows if you hit something mid body and you with impact, it's going to turn it in. And that's just what happened. So we'll see. I feel pretty confident that it'll get overturned. I think it was a huge mistake taking her down.
We'll see how they deal with it. Not only did they take her down, they placed her fourth, so doesn't even get, hurts her, as black type involved. The day had plenty of ups and downs, Mark, obviously, and that included Olympic Runner running a winning race. Junior Alvarado turned in a performance on the Danny Gargan winner. That ride was, not often you can say a jock made the absolute difference winning the race, but it sure felt like that was the case when it came to Venezuelan Hug catching Olympic Runner on the wire.
Yeah, it was a great ride. I said a DQ and a head, we could have had three graded stakes winners that day for us, obviously with God Stormy and then Spanish Love Affair. I can tell you, I was sitting at close to the wire with my assistant, Nick Tomlinson, who I have to say has done just a tremendous job with our Gulfstream division, our Palm Meadows division. And those horses all came over ready to run on Saturday. We kind of looked at each other like we had thought we were going to win, and then, boof, from nowhere, that horse. I don't know. I don't think Olympic Runner or Johnny saw him coming, but I'm proud of Olympic Runner because he's a horse. We bought him as a yearling. We've had him a long time, and he just seems to be getting better and better. And now he's proven that he can run a little farther. I got some big plans for him in the future. We'll see whether he can live up to it.
Nice. And, of course, he's a gelding. You know, he's a five-year-old and, you know, he's really
put Gary, nice, it's a know. Gary Barber special. He's never, he likes, you know, he loves horse racing. I only have to mention the word gelding and it's fine. You know, so many horses, I think owners make the wrong decision. 99.9% of colts would be better off being geldings. And what sure. they don't understand, Gary gets it. What you don't understand, and I'll just tell you a quick little fact here. An intact horse has almost a three times greater chance of a fatal breakdown than a filly or a gelding. And you say, well, how could that be? And the reason for that is, as they get older, those horses get more massive and heavy and, sure. and ends up hurting their racing career and their soundness. So, yeah, that I think more and more horses should be gelding.
Well, an Olympic runner came ahead of one of the really the highlight of Saturday in a lot of ways. Got Stormy makes her first start for the My Racehorse Spendthrift partnership, and as I texted to Gary Barber, I said they said she won, but it can't be her because she's not wearing pink. So it's going to be hard to get used to seeing her in that jacket.
I didn't realize how close it was. I later saw the photo, and I think it was Andy Serling said, and I laughed because it was great. I think Gabby Godette came, my daughter-in-law came out and said, "I got Stormy knows where the wire is," and I think Andy's reply was, "She's the only one that does," and it's true. It's not easy to figure out where the wire is at Gulfstream on the turf.
Well, this was closer in replay than it looked live. It seemed clear, but then when they put the photo up, Zafel had really made up a lot of ground late. There was actually Feel Glorious and Jakarta who set the pace and ran very well. Jakarta did. But Got Stormy stretches back out successfully to a mile. How confident or how did you address Mark getting her back out to a mile after spending pretty much the second half of last year sharpening up for the for the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint Try?
Well, you have to remember, and I've had this conversation many times, Gary and I mid-season, not even mid-season last year, we knew that the Breeders' Cup was going to be at Keeneland and going a mile, and we both talked about it, and we've always said, the softer the ground, the tougher for her to get a mile. So we knew that there was no way we were going to have firm ground at Keeneland. So what we thought was, we thought we had a better shot of winning the Breeders' Cup sprinting. So we changed things in the fall of the year, and the weather just kept getting us. She doesn't have any problem with soft ground. She just can't go as far. So this year's a little different story. I try to, when I start the year, I try to look at what is my long-term goal. And obviously would be try to get her back to the Breeders' Cup and have a shot for her to win the Breeders' Cup. Well, there's no way she's going to be able to run 5/8 a mile at Del Mar. She's not fast enough. But she can. She can probably get a mile there, and if we all know the turf will be probably pretty hard and fast. So we're gonna continue down that road. I had a long talk this morning with Ned Toffee, and her next start's gonna be in the distaff at going a mile at Churchill. She likes Churchill. She likes the shorter turns, and then probably if all goes well, we go to the Just a Gate. At Belmont, going a mile. We are not going to run past a mile, and we're not going to run if there's any give in the ground. So I think that's the direction we're going to head right now, and maybe the four-star days, and then hopefully the Breeders' Cup. We had that conversation this morning.
Nice. Well, and you know, all you got to do is think about her effort in the Matriarch a couple of years ago in terms of going a mile at Del Mar and use that
exactly.
as the template.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, that thought has already crossed my mind.
Now, she is something, and 6-year-old Got Stormy starts her. I can't call it a second career. I don't know. It continues to be a career, but it's like a diner under new management.
Yeah.
Mark, there's a bunch of things that I want to catch up on, and some far flung activities, including Turfway on Friday, and upon further review. That effort by Gretzky the Great might be okay. It might have been just a little short and needed the race. And I think got beat by a couple of good horses.
I was very pleased with Gretzky's race. He missed some time after the Breeders' Cup. And he wasn't at his absolute best for Friday night. So I think he'll improve from that. He got a little, the pace scenario, he had an outsider run head-to-head with him. We had to kind of make a decision, given our post. I had told the rider, I said, look, I don't want it. The one is so dangerous because if you don't come away from their running, the next thing you know, everybody drops over on you and you're back at last. You're back at last. And I didn't want that. He's a horse that likes to be forwardly placed. And he came away from there running and looked like he was going to make, a fairly easy lead. And then, of course, that horse came running up outside of him and pressed him. And then, of course, that horse finished next to last. And then a new gang came to him. And he got roughed up a little bit in that race. But he hung in there. He ran hard. And I was proud of him. I think he ran a career high buyer of 83, and like I said, there's room there for improvement. So I think Gretzky's headed in the right direction, and we'll see.
You basically stay the course and look toward running back at Turfway in the Jeff Ruby.
That's something that's still under discussion and something I'll talk to Gary about and Aaron about, but probably makes the most sense. Obviously at some point in time we do want to try to get him on the dirt. I mean, he's bred for it. So we'll talk about that. And we also, they run a race for $1 million in Canada, the Queen's Plate, and that's got to be on our mind as well. So, a lot of good things to look forward to with Gretzky, and not too bad on the grass either.
The girls' race, the sprint, you kind of emptied the barn a little bit at the trophy.
Yeah, we did a lot of experimenting there, and none of which worked too great. But you live and you learn from that, and you make some different changes. The three horses that ran speeding ran the best. She got shuffled back, and I was happy to see her come with a little bit of run. Pledge made a middle move and flattened out, which I was disappointed. I thought Pledge would run better. As far as Dirty Dangle, she's a bit of a head scratcher. I'm not so sure she's not a better grass horse. She did break her maiden on the Tapita, but looking back, it was not a strong race, and her grass race was much better. So she'll probably go back to the grass. And, when you have a two-year-old, now three-year-old filly that is already a stakes winner, your races are very limited to where you can run. I didn't feel like I wanted to run her two turns just quite yet. And that would have been my only other option. So sometimes you have to play the cards you're dealt, and sometimes they're not perfect. So you have to try to play them the best you can, and I maybe didn't do the best on her. That might not have been my best play.
Well, regroup. Let's also swing through Tampa the other day, and all eyes on Soup and Sandwich, the follow-up to the flashy maiden win, and certainly, you know, came through, and despite the short field, had probably got a lot out of it in terms of experience.
And he ran fast. You know, the pace wasn't overly fast. I know he only beat two horses, but I think he went 4/5 off the track record with a very slow pace. As anybody knows that follows Tampa, Antonio is a very, very good rider. Just not at Tampa, but everywhere. I've never heard him so excited. He just loved that horse. He said he was so professional. He said when he said he clucked to him and asked him to go when that horse came off the rail, and he said he just took off. And then, of course, he's always sees a lot of things, and he jumped to his wrong lead. Then he jumped the tracks and, you know, the gate tracks. But he still, you know, he ran well. We're right now, I think we're going to head to a tough spot, but it's the Florida Derby. More than likely, that's where he's going to make his next start. You know, that's a big jump, but at some point you got to try it.
I'm not surprised. It seems like you know, there's plenty of talent. He seems to be, is he a little bit of a goofball, a little bit of a,
no,
a playboy, or
smart? He sees a lot. The one thing I will say for him, and I was proud of him, you know, he shipped over the morning of the race to Tampa. He never seen the place, and he was a complete professional that way. He just has to learn, you know, his running. A lot of times when you get horses that are really not running as fast as they can, they see things. So I look at that as a little bit of a plus. I think there's a lot more there. Hey, if he had focused, if somebody had given him something to run out, he may have broke the track record. Especially if they had, I think they went 3/4 and 13 and change. If they could have went 3/4 and 11 and change, and he had a little better target, who knows how fast he would have ran.
Hmm. On the three-year-old front, I do want to mention, I've got to talk about the newcomer, too, from that card. And also there was one back at Turfway I want to fold in too, but some thoughts about the first experience with Turned Aside, bought out of the Pampa Dispersal, and tried that turf dash the other day at Tampa.
Yeah, you know what, Steve, I was happy with him. He's not a I've been through a few of these dispersals in the past, these horse sales where, you know, we've sold horses, and I trained them for one person and then got them back for another person. And it's always amazed me how hard those sales are on horses. They are extremely hard. I don't think we give enough credit to that. You know, so we got him back. We wanted to get him running. We said, I only breezed him, I think, a time or two in Ocala, sent him to New Orleans, and then, of course, the rain came, so we scratched, and we came back, and they were supposed to run the race on Sunday. I had him set up. We had him set up for what we, you know, thought was going to be a Sunday race. Then it got moved to Wednesday. Nothing went right. Nothing went as planned, and he was, you know, Jose rode him for us, Ferreira, and he said he thought he was a winner, but he got tired. He was exhausted after the race, which I kind of thought he might be. Corded up really big, and he's a heavy horse. He's not a light horse, so he takes some training. And I don't know. I think he's going to really come out of that race and do well. We're going to head to the Shaker Town with him. That's the plan. And at some point, we may try to stretch him out just a little bit. I thought maybe too. Next time, I thought maybe we rushed him a little too much the other day, so we may let him settle a little bit. But you know, it's a learning process. It was our first try with him, and I think we learned some things, and hopefully we can get him run a little better next time.
Let me ask about a pair of siblings and that have become sort of become an interested party. Wynn Doro got his maiden broken and happy for him. Now brother Dolder Grand, who took about as tough a beat at Fairgrounds on Risen Star Day in the maiden race. That horse of Pletcher's that shipped over was the one horse that Todd ran on the Risen Star card. And I'm going to forget his name, and he nailed. That was a terrific race, and Dolder Grand will graduate soon.
Oh, yeah, but we kind of feel like we've given him plenty of opportunity on the dirt. I think he's a nice horse on the dirt, but we've come to the conclusion we think he may be a little better turf horse. So we're going to come back with him on the turf, and I still have high hopes for him. I think he's getting bigger and stronger. He's always been kind of a skinny kind of teenage kid. I could see a big difference in him when I was in New Orleans. And since then, David Carroll just keeps telling me that he's getting bigger and stronger. So, yeah, and that's good. And Wendy Oro is an interesting horse because every now and then it comes along, you have a horse. And the last horse I can think about was Noble Bird, so about 6-7 years ago. After about 6 or 7 starts, we would look at each other and say, how is this horse still a maiden? How is he still a maiden? And that's kind of the case with Wendy Oro. We kept looking and say, how is he a maiden? Because he trains as good as any horse in the barn, but he just doesn't seem to be able to get his act together in the afternoon. And I'm hoping maybe he had a troubled trip. In fact, I read a comment on his running line that I've never seen. It said, trouble times two, much the best. I thought that was an interesting. I thought that was an interesting comment. Yeah, I thought he was much the best the other day. So, you know, maybe he'll get some confidence and move forward. The mare's a pretty good mare. You know, I think the mare's had 4 stake horses. So there's plenty of pedigree there for him and Dolder Grand.
Ocean Wave, Tis Noble, Battalion Runner, Late Night Mischief.
Yeah. I don't know that they're black type winners, but they're definitely black type horses. Yep.
Yeah. No, they've all earned 6 figures, and
yeah, and that's kind of when I'm looking. You know, when I'm out buying, that comes from my dad. My dad would always tell me, buy out of those mares that throw runner after runner. Yeah. They don't have to be great horses. We did that. This is a long, long time ago. I was at Saratoga with my dad. I must have been 12, and we bought out of some mares. Mare had 4 or 5 solid horses, and we bought her, and she ended up being just okay. But the next year, her brother was Bold Forbes. So that goes back a long, long time. I'm getting old. I'm old, but I have a lot of experience.
A couple of stakes runners since we talked last, going again on that Fairgrounds card, Enforceable and Peace Achieved.
I'm not talking about him.
No, he's getting annoyed.
That horse annoys the hell out of me. I have no idea. I have no idea what makes that horse tick. We're going to run him back in the New Orleans handicap. We figure if he decides to run, throw a big one, he may win. If he doesn't, he'll add to his poor performance record.
How about Super out of there? Super Sensational coming out of there.
Yeah. Region. You know, she had a very unfortunate trip. We're going to leave her there, and we're going to run her in the Fairgrounds Oaks. The frustrating part about her last race is we learned nothing from it. And you know, as a trainer, you want to learn something. You want to say, well, maybe you're not good enough, or maybe you need to head a different direction. And unfortunately, we didn't learn any of those things. So we're going to give her another try down there. Right now, it's not 100%, but I think Johnny's going to ride her in the Fairgrounds Oaks. It's not an absolute certain, but we've been in contact, so we'll see what he thinks.
Well, good. And I'm going to ask about a terrific effort in defeat. Peace Achieved at a big price was third behind the Chris Block Lothenbach winner.
You know, Peace Achieved ran a big race. Peace Achieved is a horse that we now finally have been able to get, you know, right back-to-back races in him, and he moves up a little bit each time. He's going to run back in the Muncie, I believe, and he'll run well. I'm right now I'm flirting with the idea. I'm going to see how he comes back, but I'm thinking about sending Olympic Runner there for that race as well. I think it's a nice race, and Olympic Runner, you just got to time his ride. Johnny said after the race, well, he said a bad word that I can't really say on radio, but he said I got to the lead a little too soon. So I think Olympic Runner is a tough, very tough horse to ride, but I don't see any reason why he can't go 9 furlongs. So we may run 2 in there, but I would agree with you. I think a Peace Achieved race was very, very good. Ran spotty, but was running on end. And, you know, I thought going into the Breeders' Cup, we had a big shot to win as a Breeders' Cup as a 2-year-old, and he disappointed me. But, and he's had a few little minor injuries since, but we got him happy and healthy now. So maybe big things to come.
Let me ask about a couple of more under-the-radar types, and that includes the soon, I hope to soon to return, the 3-year-old down in Florida working toward a return. A Helium, 2 for 2, the Ironicus colt for DJ.
Helium's trained very well. Yeah, he's trained very well, and he's going to, we're going to take a little stab at this, but we're going to run in the Tampa Bay Dirt. I think it's time to, he's training well. We're going to see whether, how he takes to the dirt, and you know, I've talked to the greens, and we think sooner is better than later, and a lot of times I just want to find out what we have. I did a similar situation a couple years ago with Sir Winston. He had won, you know, on the synthetic, and I said to Tracy Farmer, we got to figure out, you know, now whether he likes the dirt. And I think that's where we're at with Helium. So, yeah, he's going to run Saturday.
How about that? There's a little piece of news. Who's riding?
My man, Jose Ferreira.
Very good. A little JoJo. You know, that mare, I remember the mare, Thundering Amelia, that Michael Matz had. She was a nice stake mare. Well, wow, undefeated. So there's a name. And my man Papo Morales was asking about Helium. And let me also slip in a question about Jungle Cat, who has always seemingly run well. Another one that should graduate soon.
Well, I don't have Jungle Cat anymore.
Oh,
so
is that right?
Gary sold his park to Team Valor. And the last thing time I heard, she's in South Florida with Graham Motion. So can't tell you that one. I have no
idea.
Well,
interesting. Jungle Cat, you know, 2 seconds and 2/3 in 4 starts, and is an animal kingdom. So
tell you, Philly, I'm excited about. And she's in the stake down Fairgrounds. Is Philly we got from Ireland, Earthstrike for the greens. She ran. She had a really nice second in her first start, and you know, is we got her back in the stake. I think she's a filly, especially in the summer, is going to do big things for us.
Nice.
So we're excited. We've got a, you know, Steve, we shut down a lot of, we give a lot of our horses time off in the winter time, and everything we do, we kind of aim for a big spring and summer and fall. So we're starting. We got Lady Grace. She's a Grade 2 stakes winner for Mr. Farmer. She's coming back. I can tell you who just showed up, and he's happy and healthy and looks better than he ever has. His Tappet to win. He's started breathing
nice
down at Palm Meadows.
Right.
I have another horse called Super Dormy. That's a pretty good horse that's just starting back to breathing. So, yeah. that's what I've been doing. I've been charting paths for everybody.
Nice. Well, and you know, you mentioned the work that the assistants do, and I should, before we go, I should mention Jamie Begg out on his own and with his sixth overall starter, a winner yesterday at Tampa. And, of course, he put in a lot of the time with you as an assistant. So congratulations to Jamie.
Yeah, I was excited and happy for Jamie, you know, well-deserved. He's a good horseman and good young man, and you're going to see a lot of things, good things out of him in the future, and couldn't be happier, Corey.
Well, and I should mention that much like, you know, for those that that, you know, that had heard his name over the years working for Mark, He actually, I think he's trying to transition from Jamie to James because he's calling Begg Racing. I see that he's identified as James Begg on so.
Okay, well, I don't know that. That'll take me a while.
I think it'll take everybody a while. Yeah, but yeah. Congratulations. We'll get him on, and you can follow him on Twitter. It's Begg with two G's, J B B E G G. 21 is Jamie Begg. So, Mark, lots to keep track of. I appreciate the little tidbit, the news on Helium contesting the Tampa Bay Derby, and we'll see you soon. We'll catch up soon.
And hopefully we'll can talk after they make the reversal on the disqualification. Talk to you later.
Thanks a lot, Mark Cassie. Everybody, follow Mark. You can talk soon. Mark E. Cassie on Twitter. We'll stay here. We got 10 minutes to close out, and I was going to try to get Popo in to do some recapping on Form to Win, because we'll save it, though, for tomorrow, and we'll put up some screenshots and show you some terrific results. But James Scully's going to join us because not only did Jimmy Bell get to take a victory lap, certainly James gets to take one too after a couple of really good ideas to help build your bankroll over the weekend. It started on Friday night in the Battaglia, and then it got even better on Saturday, including the really good idea, James, that you had with attachment rate. And those two should have put people in good stead for the whole weekend. Well done.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, Hutch of a Storm, really. He was 6-1, almost 7-1 in that Battaglia Memorial in the race setup, where the pace was solid, but it wasn't that fast, but it was contentious. And, you know, he just got that good trip, stalking a mid-pack, made his run on the far turn. It was unfortunate that he lugged in the stretch. Really didn't make much contact, but, you know, hurt it in a sense, like the King. But to me, you know, if he runs straight and true to the wire, I don't think the top four spots were going to be any different. I already thought like the King had Gretzky the Great, and there really wasn't a spot for the fourth place finisher to go up the inside. So, you know, you see an incident like that in the stretch, and it could be really controversial, but I don't think it had any impact on the finish. And this is a creative cause. Colts, Bill Morey trains him. He's now won three in a row. All of them have been on the poly track. Going to come back in the Jeff Ruby Stakes on March 27th. That is a new 100-point qualifier for the winner, a major qualifier for the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, and we'll get Bill Morey on. I haven't talked to Bill in ages, and I'm really excited for him after, you know, frankly, you know, embarrassing scenario out west. He had to kind of reorganize and reboot his, you know, his business, and has done a great job doing it. And I actually was quite pleased to see him win a race like this. So we'll get to Bill.
I'll mention one other thing with him. Yeah. You know, that race, you know, obviously a mile and a 16th at Battaglia in late February. You don't know about the competition. The speed figure didn't come back that fast. But this is a horse that's moving forward. And you look at a horse like Animal Kingdom, who won the Jeff, the time, the Spiral Stakes two races after he broke his maiden. Hush of a Storm, you know, earned his first stakes win two races after he broke his maiden. So he's going to have to keep moving forward, face better horses, but he does have something going for him.
Well, and, you know, I mentioned this early as we were kind of hitting some of the results for the from the weekend early in the show. And that race that saw him break his maiden, that was the fastest race that anybody had run in this field. And for him to be fairly overlooked, I'm actually, I'm just looking at the chart. He was actually third choice. Gretzky the Great was even money, like mm-hmm. the King was 5-1. So even though he paid $15.40, he was third. He was the third choice in that group.
Yeah, and he took a little early money. He had drifted up. He was about 7-1, 8-1, perhaps at one point, and then, you know, clicked down to 6-1 going into the starting gate. But you're right, that maiden win, which is a really sharp visual performance. I even liked his win on January 6th, his allowance win, because he really had to work in that race to beat Hard Ride Guy. You can look at him. He's a horse that's been finishing in his last three races. And, you know, he looks like a horse being by Creed. He's a New York bred, but got a lot of stamina. His dam's by Flatter. His second dam's by Quiet American. So looks like a horse that you continue to stretch out past the bottom 16th.
Well, this was a pretty nice way to end the week, the Friday result at the Battaglia. And how'd the other one run?
The filly she ran, I guess she didn't. She did not get out of the gate. I was hoping she'd show speed. She dropped back and finished, like, you know, up the track a little bit from the rail. I was on one of the Cassie fillies in there. But, you know, I was playing that race in multi-race tickets. I had the runner-up in third place there. I did not use Wait for Nairobi, who actually had just broken her maiden by disqualification. So she finished first for the first time in her career in that Cincinnati Trophy Stakes.
And I talked about her too, the Carpe Diem filly. She should not have been that price in there.
No, you could see it in her form lines. You know, she was really starting to move forward. I mean, she had never really run a bad race, but each maiden race was an improvement upon the next. And she had something going for her. You know, even if you look at this whole Bodemeister win to 52-1, I mean, obviously you're red boarding and going back, but I mean that those odds. She had run so much better in that Ford Gal to me than she had in her first two stakes experiences that she did have something going for her in a sense. You could see where her form was moving forward. But, you know, you look at the Derby and the Oaks picture this year, the three-year-old fillies, I get past Clary Air and Travel Column, and, you know, there's not a lot of not a lot of depth to the three-year-old filly division right now, but the Kentucky Derby division obviously does have, it looks like, a lot of depth at this point heading into March. Going to have a big race this Saturday with the San Felipe, really going to help shake things out in Southern California, because I think you got about four or five horses in there that could be good.
Well, we'll talk about, obviously, the weekend, Gotham and more, but we'll do that Friday. A quick recap in the aftermath here, 48 hours after Essential Qualities performance, as well as Greatest Honor, and also slip in a reminder of what you liked about Attachment Rate, because he was not a glaring, obvious play, I thought, in there.
No, and I was a little worried. He was so far back, you know, and he really made a nice move. I mean, he circled the whole field on the turn and then kept on going to win by a mile. I think he's going to be good at a mile. I think he's going to be good at a mile and a 16th. He's a true middle distance horse. Maybe he could even cut back to 7 furlongs for some races this summer. Be interesting to see what Dale Romans decides to do with him. But that was his second start of the year. He had a tightener under him. They tried him on turf, and by hard spun, it didn't work. I liked how he was coming on last year. He ran really well at Gulfstream. He was starting to get good, and then they really started focus on the Derby. And those distances, you know, mile and an eighth, a mile and a quarter, mile and an eighth last year for sure, were just a little bit too far for him. But he came back in the fall and turned in a couple of encouraging efforts. And I'm excited. Like I said, I think he could be a really good middle distance stakes horse for Dale Romans this year, Attachment Rate.
All right. We got about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes.
Right, I'll start with Greatest Honor. You know, his final time was slow, his speed figs and such. They're a contentious matter. I'm not too concerned about the time or the numbers. to me, he was running in spots in that race. That race was such a better experience for him than the Holy Bull, a complete different picture, where in the Holy Bull, he's out in the clear, in the open, and he makes a huge move on the far turn. And the Holy Bull, he's inside horses, in traffic, and he's basically sputtering when he's going through that turn. It wasn't until he kicked him out in the clear. Really, you know, that just shows Jose Ortiz how to ride that horse. He's got to, like, he just got to keep him in the clear if he can and avoid trouble. You know, that's always going to be a potential drawback, though, when you're looking at the Kentucky Derby, a 20-horse field. You get a big field like that. There's been horses. Risen Star, he broke from the rail. I think it really cost him in 1988, and others as well have had tough trips. But I do, I really like the fact that, you know, that he did find a way to win that race. And I just think the real key for him is a little bit of his mental. You know, he's got to continue to progress from a mental standpoint, Steve. I thought it was a lot of trainers would have, like, bypassed the Fountain of Youth for the Florida Derby. I think that race will really add good seasoning for him. And I came away very encouraged by his performance. Essential Quality was much more polished, much more professional. And I just love to see how, you know, once he made his move leaving the back stretch and started to make his move on the turn, the race was over. You know, he finished full of run. He looks like, a horse that can just keep moving forward. He's going to be a serious Kentucky Derby contender, Essential Quality.
Yeah, it was good, really a good weekend of racing. And James put you in good position to pad the old bankroll between the Battaglia and Attachment Rake. Great job, James. Good luck this week. We will talk Friday.
All right, sounds good. Steve, you have a great week.
James Scully, I wanted to get him in for a little snapshot, little Kentucky Derby report, instant read, as it were. We'll get to Popo tomorrow, and we'll handicap a couple things, as well as do the Form to Win recap, because there were a couple of, at least three that I, one that I actually, I did okay with, but I missed the filly in the Devona Dale. That was unfortunate. Thanks to Andy Beyer and Jimmy Bell, Rich Migliori, Mike Stidham, Mark Cassie, and James just now. That's a lot of race talk. Back tomorrow with Shug and Andy Serling and Popo and much, much more. Who else? We got to get probably Cox in here, Pletcher, maybe a little Lynchy. I should really have Aaron Wellman, too, after Eclipse's phenomenal 5-win weekend. Unbelievable. I mean, we don't, it takes us like 2 years to win 5 races. He wins 5 in 48 hours. Not even. 36. Modest action today, obviously, Monday, but good luck if you're playing. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9 here, Sirius XM. Archive, podcast, etc. at the website. And we'll talk to you in the morning. Thanks, everybody.
You have to go killing all the bees.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.